Englandy. This is the moment the crowd have waited for. Just look at him go.
Congratulations, Catherine, on your wonderful performance in winning the gold medal in the 400-metre event of the Commonwealth Games.
Ian Thorpe really going for it. 3:40.17. This is absolutely amazing.
Tracy Wickham, a great world record here in Edmonton, and there it is, a world record.
The Diamonds Commonwealth drought has broken.
The hockey revolution has a golden uprising.
Adam Ayres, congratulations, and a games record. Adam Ayres has got a hat-trick of gold medals at the Commonwealth Games.
This is something to savour, something to remember for the rest of your life.
Get set, Australia. Welcome to Gold Coast Gold. Here's your host, Dave Colbert.
Hello and welcome to Gold Coast Gold. I'm David Colbert. This week and for the next few weeks, we'll continue our Legend series, where we go back in time and hear from greats of Commonwealth Games past. In the last episode, it was Raelene Boyle, who was elevated to legend status of the Sport Australia Hall of Fame. This week, we speak with another official legend of Australian sport, Dawn Fraser, the first female inducted into the Sport Australia Hall of Fame, alongside the other original inductee, Sir Donald Bradman. We'll hear from Dawn shortly about her life in the pool and her connection with some of the current swim stars as they have their sights set on the Gold Coast Games. But before we speak with Dawn, and as we count down with just 23 Fridays to go to the Gold Coast Games, let's take a look at the headlines from another big week in Commonwealth Games news. Games organisers have revealed the 3,800 Australians who'll carry the Queen's Baton on its 100-day journey across the nation in the lead-up to the Gold Coast 2018 Commonwealth Games. The majority of the baton bearers are local community heroes, although Commonwealth Games Australia nominated 380 athletes and a small number of officials who have represented Australia at previous Commonwealth Games. The baton lands in Brisbane to start the final leg of its journey on Christmas Eve this year. In hockey, the Kookaburras and Hockeroos have won the Oceania Cup with victories over New Zealand in Sydney. The Hockeroos triumphed 2-0 over the Black Sticks, and the Kookaburras dominated New Zealand to win 6-0. Australia's success comes ahead of next month's International Festival of Hockey in Bendigo and Melbourne. In athletics, Australian triathlon champion Celia Sullahern produced a surprise result to win the Melbourne Marathon. The 25-year-old from New South Wales slashed 5 minutes off her personal best, crossing the finish line in 2 hours, 29 minutes and 28 seconds. The win lifted her overall position of the 2017 Australian rankings to fourth, just behind marathon duo Lisa Waitman and Jess Trengove, followed by Virginia Maloney. There were just 3 spots available for Australia at the Games. Trengove finished second in the half marathon, just in front of track specialist Eloise Wellings, whilst Brett Robinson won the men's half marathon. In beach volleyball, the new pairing of Taliqua Clancy and Marafay Atachiel Del Solo have done it again, winning the second World Tour event in China. The win comes on the back of last week's gold medal win in Japan in just their first tournament together. Despite the success, there's still no decision on whether the pair will combine for the Commonwealth Games selection trials. That decision will come when they return to Australia at the end of the month. In netball, the Diamonds have won the Constellation Cup Series 4-0 after a dominant 16-goal victory over the New Zealand Silver Ferns in the final test in Sydney. It's the first time since 2014 that the Diamonds have not lost a game during the annual series. Meanwhile, West Australian Kalia Stanton will replace an injured Nat Medhurst in the Australian Fast 5 team after Medhurst failed to fully recover from a hand injury. Stanton is the daughter of 1986 Commonwealth Games high jump gold medalist Christine Stanton. In rugby sevens, 6 stars from the Australian University Sevens series have been selected to join the wider Australian Women's Sevens squad competing against New Zealand in a 5-match series in Bendigo. Mackenzie Sadler from the University of Queensland, Paige McGregor from Macquarie University, and her teammate Katie Harrison, Yasmin Meeks from the University of Canberra, Olivia White from the University of Tasmania, and Lauren Brown from Griffith University will have the keen eye of Australian selectors and head coach Tim Walsh as Australia continues its preparations for the Games. New Zealand were the World Series champions last season. In cycling, Richie Porte is set to race for the first time since his horrific Tour de France crash, lining up in the Japan Cup. The 144-kilometre Japan Cup and the Criterium in Road Race as the last race of the season. But Port was desperate to end his 2017 campaign on a positive note. Meanwhile, tickets for the games go off sale ahead of the final major ticket release from midday on the 20th of November. The off-sale period of all tickets to date will ensure that they can assign specific seats to all people who have already got their tickets. Once the seat assignment process is completed, remaining tickets, including tickets that have been made available following the finalisation of venue plans, will then be made available on a first-come, first-served basis. So put that date in your diary, midday on the 20th of November. And finally, an update on injured gymnast Emily Little. The Delhi Games team gold medalist was taken to hospital with a serious neck injury after a fall during the Australian Gymnastics Championships in May. 5 months on, Little says she's back in the gym doing strength, fitness and rehab, and she says that she still doesn't know whether she'll be back to 100% fitness in time for next year's games, and we wish her well. And that's this week's Commonwealth Games news.
Gold Coast Gold's Legend Series continues, and this week it's a big thrill to chat with one of Australia's sporting greats, the first female inducted into the Sport Australia Hall of Fame, a Sport Australia Hall of Fame legend, a legend, Dawn Fraser. Thanks for joining us, Dawn.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
We talk to a lot of athletes on this series, and our Legend Series has been tremendous, and it's impossible not to talk about the Olympics, but this is going to focus on the Commonwealth Games. Your first one was in Cardiff in 1958, that sounds like a long time ago. What are your memories of Cardiff in 1958?
Well, it was an entirely different sort of organisation as far as I was concerned, because our village was in the a RAF base. We all had the sort of, and we had underground bunkers and, it was a fun time, you know, even though it was competition. But living in the village was a fun time, and occasionally I'd get home and find my bed in the bunker, and that was a lot of fun, you know. But Commonwealth Games to me has always been a great competition, competing against the Commonwealth countries of the world, and as I said, Cardiff was my first one, and I was looking forward to my next one in Perth.
How did you get to Perth? Because I want to talk about a home games and that experience for a lot of our listeners who are preparing, athletes preparing for the Gold Coast. How did you get to Cardiff?
To Cardiff, well, because we only had one heated swimming pool in Australia, and that was here in Melbourne at the Old Olympic Pool. But we were chosen in a squad of Australian swimmers and sent to Townsville for 6 weeks for winter training, because that was good weather up in Townsville. And as a squad, we became the team, and as a team, then we flew over to Cardiff to compete. After Cardiff, we then did a tour of many nations. We did a tour to Scotland, to London, to Paris, and then down to the Netherlands. We swam in a place called Bad Boekelo. Well, I'll never forget it. It's the coldest pool I've ever swum in. And we were based, our dressing room was based in a marquee out on the side of the pool, and we all looked out of this marquee and saw... we thought, as it was, heat coming off the top of the pool, and we thought, oh, this is going to be nice, because it was freezing cold. And lo and behold, the water was so cold that it was the heat from the air, and it was coming off the icy cold pool. But I broke a world record in that pool, and I couldn't believe it, because it was so cold, in and out straight away.
You needed to get out that quickly. When you went to Cardiff in 1958, you were a superstar, of course, because you'd had the 56 Olympics in Melbourne, so you'd had that experience of being, the Olympic champion. Did you feel in your first Commonwealth Games, having gone there as an Olympic champion, that the spotlight was on you and mainly you?
Well, I don't know. I think it was on the whole Australian team, because we had... Johnny Hendricks, Johnny Devitt, Gary Chapman, we had Dawn Fraser, Faith Leach, Lorraine Crabb, and we were all Olympic gold medalists, and we were a team to be forced with, they looked at our team and said, yeah. I think the highlight was on the Australian team, because all the newspapers wanted to talk to us as a team, and we had a lot to live up to, because there were a lot of Commonwealth countries that were trying to knock us off the top perch.
How did you continue to improve? You held the 100 metre freestyle world record, you broke it so many times, from 1956 to 1972. From 1956 to 1972, broke the minute for the first time. But how did you keep improving and how did you drive yourself to keep improving?
I think, you know, I fell in love with the sport. I fell in love with swimming. And, Mr. Gallagher was very good. We tried different training techniques and he was learning as a coach and I was learning as a swimmer. And so the whole squad were. And it was interesting to try new training techniques, which we did. I can remember John Hendricks and I, when I lived in Adelaide, when John came down training for before the national titles. And, at lunchtime, I'd go down to the swimming pool and I'd be doing an hour of training. And we would do 16 100-metre swims at 95 or 97%. And we had to keep those times very close to what we thought that we were doing our best. And after each swim, we had 3 minutes rest. And I think that just sort of built up our endurance and made us, be able to compete in a race after race after race.
We're with Dawn Fraser on our Legend Series on Gold Coast Gold. Tell me about Harry Gallagher.
What can I say about the best coach in the world? Harry and I got on very well together.
Mr. Gallagher.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Gallagher. I never called him anything else. I'd called him Coach or Mr. Gallagher. Even today I call him Coach or Mr. Gallagher. And I think it was just a deem of respect that I had for the gentleman. He was not afraid to try anything new in swimming, and even when I sort of first started, when I lived in Adelaide, I got very homesick, and I happened to meet a lot of jockeys, and I lived on top of the swimming pool. A lot of jockeys used to come in for a sauna bath downstairs, and I knew Alex, who ran the sauna bath, and he used to massage me. And I'd meet the jockeys and stuff like that when they were in sort of losing weight, and got to know a lot of the jockeys and Billy Pyers and I, and they used to ride for the great Colin Hayes. And I introduced Colin Hayes' horses to Waterwork, and we used to take the horses down on a Sunday. That's how I earned my pocket money. And we used to take the horses down to Port Adelaide and swim them in the port, and they'd come out and win the next race.
So that sort of different thinking you talked about, introducing the great Colin Hayes to Waterwork. Harry, you're a groundbreaker too. If something needed to be different, he would come up with something different, which was a hallmark of you and him as a combination.
Yeah, actually he would. He'd always try something new, I can remember him trying me later on, because in my day, we were only allowed to swim in one event. That was an event we had to choose, either be 100 metres or 400 metres. There wasn't 50 metres, there wasn't 200 metres, and there wasn't 800 metres, there wasn't 1,500 metres for women. There was one or 400. I swam the 100, Lorraine Crapp swam the 400. And I became a specialist in swimming 100 metres. And as I said, Mr. Gallagher, with his learning of his ability to be a coach, he taught me different ways to swim a 100 metres. And it was interesting, when I swam a race, I'd get out and I would recover within 30 seconds. I could get back in and swim another 100 metres about the same time.
It's probably because you've done 16 of them in 97%.
Yeah, exactly right. And, I never got to a stage where I thought, oh, my muscles were going to fall off my armpits and, my muscles were going to fall off the bones or anything like that, because I'd done all that in training. And I think, with all that advanced thinking and his training and coaching methods, made me the swimmer I was.
You talked about your memories of Cardiff and the village, etc. I was looking at the team sheet and you mentioned the great names, but you had a team manager and then you had the chaperone.
Yes.
No women's... The chaperone. Did you need a chaperone?
Yes. Look, it was my first trip overseas, and I guess that everyone needed a chaperone, but she didn't have much to say. In fact, I can't think of her name. I can't remember her name.
I think it was Frances May or something like that. I don't have it written down in front of me, but I think it was just... It caught my eye, because in the next games in 62... The team manager and Arthur Tunster was an assistant manager, and Don Talbot, who must have been a youngster, was an assistant coach on that team in Perth in 1962, which is... But it was just... It caught my eye that back in those days... Thank you. The coffees have arrived.
Coffee's
beautiful. A decaf for Dawn and a flat white for me. Thank you very much.
I have been there.
Okay, thank you. The... the chaperone. It just caught my eye. That was the era, wasn't it, where the young girls, there's a lot of talk about women in sport now, whereas, you know, your team and, of course, the athletics team had Betty Cuthbert. You were trailblazers for women in sport.
Yeah, we were, actually, because, you know, I always felt that we were pioneers for women's sport, because not only in athletics, but in all sports, because we tried to get to the forefront. And if you have a look through the records of going back to the 1896 when the first Olympic Games started, the majority of medals that have been won since then have been women. And it's great now to think that I'm part of women being recognised in sport today, because and their achievements to be recognised. Like now we've got women playing AFL, we've got women playing rugby league, we've got women playing union, we've got women playing touch football, we've got women cricketers are doing better than our men cricketers because men's cricket was up on the top. Now women have taken over. And, you know, I'm always glad to think that I've been a leading guiding light there to get women up into the fore, speak your mind, do the right thing and play your sport the best of your possibility.
Talking about speaking your mind, we started off on our Legend series with Raylene Boyle, and she liked to speak her mind. It's not a bad thing. It got you into trouble every now and again. You got suspended about 15 times. The union tried to give you the flick. You stole a flag. You did all sorts of things, which Australians love you for. Do you regret any of that?
No, I don't, because, you know, I got blamed for a lot of things. I got blamed for being in a professional swimming club at the age of 10 and 12. Yes, I was. But I didn't receive any money for my swimming. I received trophies, and on my point score I was allowed, I think there was a sixpence for every point score that, you know, and I won all of my races as a little girl, and that went into a point score. And, you know, I can remember buying my mother and father their first mantle clock, and I was very proud of to take that home. But I was, because it was a men's dominance in our organisation, that the males said, right, you come from a working class family, you're a professional, and you're going to come, you're going to stand down for 2 years. You know, at 12 years of age, come. I didn't understand the word professional at all. So I really, my back was up then, you know, and being the person I am, and always been taught by my father, who was a very strict Scottish father, always taught me to be very honest, say what I think, and don't tell lies. And I did that. I did that at home from 10 years of age. If I told a lie at home, I wouldn't sit down for a week. And I learnt that once. I told a little fib. I've never told a lie in my life since.
That's why we love you, Dawn. That's why you're a national treasure. Let's talk about the home games, because for a lot of our listeners on Gold Coast Gold, they're athletes preparing for the home Commonwealth Games. And you had that experience twice, with a home Olympics in 56 and a home Commonwealth Games in Perth. What a thrill, but what the pressure. What advice do you have for our young athletes, and what are your memories of those home games versus the games that you went to overseas?
Look, if you've got a good coach, I had the best coach in the world, Mr. Gallagher. I spat my life out to Mr. Gallagher. If I hurt, I spoke with him. We found out why I hurt, where I hurt, and we rectified it. If I got homesick, okay, he'd say, go home for the weekend. And I'd save up for those sort of things. And I know that when I got back on the Sunday night from Sydney and training very hard, that next week I would put my heart and soul into that week, because I know that at the end of the month, Mr. Gallagher would say, you want to go home for the weekend, Dawny. And, yeah, you know, that stopped me from being homesick. And I got home to see Mum and Dad all the time and my brothers and sisters. And being the youngest of eight in the family, you do miss those sort of things. But at the other end of it, my father, who was a soccer player, played for Dornoch in Scotland. He said, if you want to achieve anything, you've got to put the hard work into it. And you've got to be completely in love with what you do. If you're going to play soccer, you've got to be in love with soccer. If you're going to be a swimmer, you're going to be that's got to be your focus on your life. And that's what I did. I had 6 months that my father gave me, that when I left home to live in Adelaide, I had 6 months to prove myself. If I didn't prove myself by the time of the national championships, that was the end of my swimming. I had to come home again. And I didn't want that, because I loved Adelaide. I loved what I was doing. I got a good job. I met a lot of new friends, and I trained hard.
So did that reliance on the coach and putting him in the bubble. Is that how you put aside all of the attention? It's a different era now, and obviously with social media, etc., which I'll get to, but the having the focus on the home games and the home media, was it the coach, but it was also the team and being able to hide away amongst all the greats? Because we got to 62 and all of a sudden you've got, you know, the likes of Kevin Berry and Murray Rose as well in your team.
That's right.
It's not bad.
No, it's a good team. It's a very good team. But, you know, I had the likes of those people, like, as I said, John Henricks, Johnny Devitt and Gary Chapman in 56. In 60, in 58 in Cardiff, the same guys were there. And they were, you know, and then there were a few more competitors coming up, like... you know, the Conrads and people like that. And then in 1960, we got a team. You got Ruthie Everest, a new team member. And fortunately, we as older girls became mentors for these young kids, and they were sort of looking up to us and saying, well, this is what you're supposed to do. This is how you got to sleep. You got to eat. Can't eat too much. You got to eat. Don't go off your diet. That's the most important thing. I can remember at one Olympic Games, I was mentor for the Australian swimming team, and some of our swimmers, they gave me a hell of a time because they were eating too much, you know, junk food, and they were putting on weight, and their times are just... That's why we declined in swimming over the years. But, you know, for the athletes at home that are going to be listening to this, look, the Commonwealth Games are coming up in 6 months' time. All they should be doing now is concentrating on their training, what they want to achieve, how they want to achieve it, and don't worry about... And yet, put yourself in a bubble. Put yourself in the bubble and stay there, but go and do the right thing by yourself.
You had a great Games. You're a hometown specialist. You're sensational in Melbourne, two golds there. In Perth, four gold medals. It was the yards then, the 100 yards. You talked about not, you know, the 100 yards or 440 yards. You went up to the 440 yards and won, and you broke the world record in the 4x1 free and the medley as well.
Yes.
Not a bad Games.
Oh, it was fantastic Games. Perth was really good because... the Commonwealth Games up until, I'm not sure what year they changed, but they were all yards, and then the Olympic Games were metres. So it didn't make any much difference. I mean, 100 yards, 110 yards, you're only a few inches out anyways, over 100 metres. So it didn't make that much difference, and my training didn't change because Mr Gallagher had looked at this, and he'd looked at the difference in a touch. You know, he tried all sorts of new things, you know, going into the last 10 metres without... a breath, and seeing how you lift it out of the water. A lot of the swimmers are doing that today. He never changed my stroke. Because I swam as a little girl in a saltwater pool, could never see what my arms were doing underneath the water until such a time at Forbes Carlisle, or due respects to Forbes, who's just passed on, he was the underwater cameraman up in Townsville. And he found out that I was a straight-arm swimmer. And he told Mr Gallagher, she's a straight-arm swimmer, you're going to have to change that. I couldn't change it because I was so natural with it. And that's why I think today I'm still very hard in the muscles in the front of my arms.
The social media, you didn't have to worry about it then. How would have you been in the days of Twitter and Instagram and et cetera if that was a distraction for athletes?
I'd never go on it. I don't, you know, I occasionally go on Facebook, or I've got so many followers on Twitter I hardly pick it up because mainly, one, I don't know how to use it. I don't like what people are saying. When you see enough of what Donald Trump and people are writing on Twitter, nah. If I want to get in touch with my friends, I ring them up.
That's old school.
It is old school.
What about the Commonwealth Games? You're a Queenslander, of course, now. You're based up in that magnificent location of Noosa, where the Noosa Triathlon's the highlight of the year, etc. But it's Queensland's Games, not just the Gold Coast. You're looking forward to, you know, experiencing that thrill of a home Games again, as we did in Sydney, and you've done twice in your career as a competitor.
Absolutely. I think for the competitors, it's nothing like competing on your own home ground. It's absolutely fantastic because... to walk out onto your arena and know that 90% of the people sitting in the stands are there for you, and that builds you up. And that's why I say to the younger generation today, if you're being for the Commonwealth Games to be held on the Gold Coast, think about the people in the audience. They're going to be there supporting you, not just the people around you at the time, but the people in the stands will support you, because you know why? You keep competing for Australia.
not bad, is it? What about our swim team at the moment? They had a tough time in Rio, when okay at the World Championships, a lot of personal best though, new group coming through. The Commonwealth Games is a perfect stepping stone for them for Tokyo, if that's the end game. But, you know, we're always expected to dominate swimming at the Commonwealth Games. How do you see our team at the moment?
Our team's going very well, because if people don't realise, but in Rio we had 19 debutants. It was their first Olympic Games, first overseas tournament. This year, they went to World Cup. They've improved their times. Coming to Commonwealth Games, it'll be a breeze for them. They know the job they've got to do now. It's an international competition. It's not just Commonwealth Games now. It's virtually World Championships. And I think that they'll have been accredited with the whole idea of how they are to compete.
And when you see someone like Kate Campbell lining up on the blocks in the 100, do you get flashbacks?
Not for myself, but for them I do. I really, you know, I've just been asked to go down to the Short Course Championships in Adelaide next month, and I've accepted last night and then the Swimmer of the Year award. I love seeing these young kids come up, but I also love seeing my Paralympians that I mentor. And, I've got one young lady, Rachel Watson. 2 years ago, couldn't swim in front of a crowd. She was in Adelaide behind the scenes. Dad's pushing her up and down in a wheelchair, and she's pulling her eyes out, and he said to her, "Rachel, stop, Dawn Fraser's walking." And she, "Oh, I want to meet Dawn Fraser." And he said to me, "Would you like to have a talk to Rachel?" And I said, "Rachel, come on, let's go and sit down." She's sitting in a wheelchair. That started her off. She started laughing. I started laughing. I said, "Oh, I really didn't mean that." See, means nothing to me that you're in a wheelchair. Means nothing to those people up there that you're in a wheelchair. All they want to see is you swim and do your best. Don't worry about those people up there. You've got a lane to swim in. You've got a black line you've got to follow. And get in there and follow it. I want to see you get in there and do good.
Were your big blue eyes gazing at her like they're gazing at me now? It's a radio podcast, this, so you can't see, but Dawn is staring me down while she's giving this speech, and I just want to get into a pool and go and swim, Laurie Lawrence style. Yeah, is that how you delivered it?
I do deliver it with my eyes, yeah, because it makes... My daughter says, "Mum, I know you're getting cross because your eyes go grey. When they're blue, she's all right."
We might leave it on that. Your eyes are blue. I don't want to make them great. Hey, Dawn, it's a great pleasure. We're at the Sport Australia Hall of Fame, and it's surrounded by Australian sporting legends. You're near the top of the list, and it's great to have you on Gold Coast Gold, and I really thank you for your time.
Thank you. It's a very pleasure.
That's it for this edition of Gold Coast Gold. A reminder, you can subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an edition. You can join us at Commonwealth Games Australia on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram to keep up with all the news regarding the Australian team for the 2018 Gold Coast Commonwealth Games. Until next week, thanks for your company on Gold Coast Gold.